Public Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. You know, it's interesting. We'll go back to the phones in a second, but speaking of the story that Rhonda mentioned, you know, we shouldn't have to do this much work. You know, speaking of the high profile incidents, you know, we shouldn't have to ask the questions. And to me, again, the first question that should be asked is, were agencies involved? I always find it curious. The FBI wants to investigate. Don't wait. Don't act too quickly when you see these memos come out. FBI probing Antifa plot to buy guns. You know, here's a report. Don't act too quickly, because receiving agencies are requested not to take action based on this raw reporting without prior coordination with the FBI. We wouldn't want to get your agents or ours killed in a Gladio-styled strategy of tension operation. So make sure you check with us first. Shouldn't have to do this much homework. And speaking of that, the story that Rhonda was talking about, there's a Natural News article. This is probably one of the best places to go because for this story, because it includes the story and some videos that will hopefully not, but invariably, you know, videos like this seem to disappear. So there's a hard copy, so to speak, of the story over at Natural News that was published April 30th. And the headline is "Measles-Infected Baby Photos Faked," uppercase, faked by NBC News to push mass hysteria and demand vaccine compliance. And so, you know, talks about the story. The high impact flicks video is included. And he, I forget his name. What's his name? Cites the Call for an Uprising video. You can watch it, and, you know, those videos are linked in there. They're embedded in, or the high impact flicks video is embedded, and you can see the Call for an Uprising video in there. So I'll just leave it at that. But then the story talks about the proof that NBC News faked measles photo, and you have basically a stock photo. It's the same photo of a child. It's a stock photo, and the proof is that you can see that basically a Photoshop brush was used to apply measles splotches, and the graphic shows five different places on the child that have the same brush splotching effect applied. It's identical. So, you know, and then they overlay the same effect on Lester Holt's face, which is interesting. So another thing that folks can do, another tool, you know, people say, I mean, this story includes, it says, if you search, where does it say that? You can do a search. But what I would say is, if folks are interested in this, when these things happen, you can actually do a reverse image search, so to speak, and you can search for images similar to that. And I won't get into how to do that right now, but there are different tools that you can use. Google has one, which I would imagine would prove unreliable, at least at some point. if it isn't already for this kind of stuff, odds are it'll prove unreliable in the future, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink. So that'd be the first place I'd start, you know, a reverse image search. But it's becoming, seems like there's you know, search engine bias in those as well, for obvious reasons. Anyway, hopefully that all makes sense. So back to the phones. Fred in Iowa, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes. Rhonda, I have a very, very, very important point. Help people. That's pretty simple.
Absolutely.
Help people.
Help each other.
I'll come back to that. Right. I'll come back to that. I really like the first 20 minutes of your show. You covered a lot of ground there. Well, I'm one of those guys, and I put out a website, and I thought I'd catch a lot of stuff from there. Bad, bad, bad. Very disturbing. Very disturbing. But if you can face the tough stuff, if you have the courage and face the tough stuff, then you'll gain strength. Now, I'm one of these guys, as you mentioned, in the first 20 minutes of your show, that they talk about the rapture and all the hell that's going to come on this earth. And it is now happening. And how bad that is. And they, a lot of people, or you suggested that they're not aware of this. Well, a lot of them aren't. But it's going to get bad. It's going to get bad. But if you have the courage, face up the bad stuff now. Gain the knowledge and then pray that you understand that knowledge. Then you can do something. Now get back to Rhoda. Help people. Well, if you know about vaccines, talk to people about the vaccine. If you know about GMO foods, talk to people about that. And you can use that as a wedge to do other things. In my case, evangelize or make people aware of the Word and the Bible. And you could carry a bag of fruit around, oranges or apples or pears or grapes or whatever. If you live in the big cities, it doesn't have to be the big city. You can be a little old bird where I live. You see somebody that's down and out and hungry, give them an apple. Give them an orange. Strike up a conversation. Show that you care. That's what they call Christianity. But you mention all the time morality, virtue, and religion. People talk about it, go on, even the Bible comforts everybody, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they listen to a lot of information on the radio and television. Well, hell, do they have any morality, virtue, or religion? Practice what you preach. Now, I put out a website, and it's very disturbing. The secret behind secret societies. It takes the courage just to go through an hour and 27 minutes of that. And I'll mention it again. Go to that site. Secret Behind Secret Society. Total Onslaught. Walter White. It's tough. It's tough. But you'll start learning. If you want to learn, you want to face up to things. Because the beauty that's coming onto us in the end, man cannot conceive of it. So getting back to Rhoda's statements and what he said.
Rhonda.
Oh, Rhonda, pardon me. Pardon me, Rhonda. Help people. Try. And it has its rewards. And you might get kicked in the rear. So be it. Well, that's my yap for today, my friend. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Appreciate it. So, I'm reminded of Matthew 25:40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. And you know, and then what follows is terrifying. For those who've not done it unto the least of these my brethren, so to speak. So, let's go back to the phones. Back to the phones. Fred in Michigan. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey there, my brother.
Hey, Fred.
Hey, I happened to call a broadcast station that used to be located in Flintstone, Leadwater, Michigan. Tongue-in-cheek, pun intended there. About 20 years ago, 25, something like that, it went off air. Then about probably 4 years ago, it reemerged as an African-American broadcast station. It's a 50,000-watt AMer. Only it was relocated to the suburbs of Detroit, Bob Seger town. So, interestingly, they are predominated in their roster of broadcasters with Bar Esquire attorneys. The majority of them are Bar Esquire attorneys. And so, this one guy by the name of Sam Riddle, you know, he's a pretty flamboyant orator, sort of a legend in his own mind. there was a guy, a Saul Alinsky, Nelson Mandela protege, a black Afrikaner who just resigned apparently yesterday. There were four attempts at least, maybe more, by me to focus on a U.S. Rep. Ellen Grayson, an honorable Hebrew American rep from Florida back in 09 and 10 on YouTube. And he's interrogating Ellen Grayson in Congress, in session, the Inspector General of the FedRes. A real timely, mild-mannered, soft-spoken, pre-blondish babe who tells this guy, in essence, go fly a kite, not to worry, we're FedRes, you're not. We have major priorities in the works right now. The missing $12 trillion is not one of them, but not to worry, we will get around to it. Something. So, in at least four attempts, especially when this magnanimous, dishonorable Hebrew-American rep by the name of John Dingell, I say Dingeldorf, he died recently, but he was the longest standing or sitting U.S. rep, I think, in history. He did serve on the House Ways and Means, yada, yada, yada. So, after the funeral, his wife, Debbie, who replaced him, of course, they elected her naturally because it's a family affair. With it is, as it is with all of these AIPAC, Jewish Defense League, yada yada operatives, it's a family affair. Anyway, so she comes on as, and is interviewed by this Nelson Mandela Saul Alinsky protege, black Afrikaner, whose name is Bankole. How's this for a name? Bankole Thompson. Bankole Thompson, okay? And it takes a while to acclimate to his tongue, right? But it can be done. And I did it. So I queried him of the significance of FedRez being a private corporation whose stockholders are Wall Street, Talmudic, Kabbalah, Zohar, juicer, bankster, gangsters. And that's been corroborated by Mark Skidmore, with whom I spoke from MSU. So I asked this old Bankole, who, by the way, is a big-time writer, a journalist for what's called the Detroit News. All the news worth knowing from the Detroit News. All right, so what's the significance of that and the fact that every FedRez chairman, every Treasury secretary happens to be a Talmudic Jew? And then I asked them about the $12 trillion, Representative Grayson. The guy hangs up on me every time. So when Debbie Dingell comes on after the funeral of her magnanimous, I queried her about that. Bankole crassly, rudely, abruptly interrupts and hangs up and says, "You're always wanting to talk about BS." So in the minds of these black Afrikaners, especially people who are bar esquire attorneys, like this Sam Riddle, whom I called before I called you, and he abruptly did the same thing. And he candidly admitted that he's like a bosom buddy compatriot of this guy, Bankole Thompson, who resigned. So it's like, you know, there's this fella, what's his name? Jewish Onslaught. Gosh, I can't remember his name. He was confronted with a situation at Wellesley College in Boston when he was the head professor of African American Studies, International Studies. Tony Martin, Professor Tony Martin, PhD. He also has a JD. I even brought this to Mark Skidmore's attention because Tony Martin got his degrees from MSU, and he taught at University of Michigan. Then he went over to Boston. Anyway, what happened was there at Wellesley College, I guess is it, he got into these facts about transatlantic slave trade and the banking system being in bed together, you know.
Yeah, it's redundant. And we go right back to the East India Company of the 1600s, and it's institutionalizing of that kind of stuff. We'll be right back, folks.
Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here?
Welcome back.
I don't care if it hurts.
You know, maybe at the bottom of the hour here in a few minutes, maybe we'll play a compilation of things. You know, if America, I mean, it's a big, convoluted, overwhelming discussion. It goes back to the intrigue of, you know, infamy, creating a central banking scheme here on our shores. And, you know, it's a long story, but it's really not. So maybe we'll play the excerpt from those congressional proceedings, State of the Economy and Monetary Policy from July 21, 2009. Alan Greenspan to Bernanke, who got the $500 billion? And, you know, from there you go to maybe that Glenn Beck excerpt. It's Big Corrupt Government, Glenn Beck, on why it's time to audit the Federal Reserve. But it's not time to audit the Federal Reserve. The only video I've ever made on YouTube is that video concerning the FSAP and how it's a setup. The audit would be a setup. Don't walk into that trap. Anyway, he does a good job of detailing the fact that it wasn't $500 billion, $700-800 billion. It was significantly more than that. When you understand what inflation is all about, then obviously that's a huge consequence. Then we probably throw in Greenspan saying the U.S. can pay any debt it has because we can always print money. And then maybe you throw in the Federal Reserve's own website that says the Federal Reserve banks are not a part of the federal government. Then who owns that monopoly on printing specious currency? And, you know, if Americans could just watch, I mean, what is that? It's less than 15 minutes worth of stuff. And it's, you know, it even caters to the mindless dumbing down of America in the sense that, you know, it's video. It's not just pictures. It's video. So predominantly video. And, you know, I don't think that we have any excuse. Every American should know that this is economic warfare. Plain and simple. And it's just that simple. And it should be considered that. The Federal Reserve is a blight on civilization. It is extra constitutional. And it certainly violates Congress's license in the Constitution to coin money and regulate the value thereof. So everyone should know, Chris, and you can know in less than 15 minutes. It's pretty simple. Go ahead, Fred.
Article 1, Section 8, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution, borrow money on the credit of the United States. So that precedes the subsequent articles regarding gold and silver weights and measures. So that was implanted. That was obviously a deliberate implant to, you know, circumvent the gold and silver-based monetary system. Borrow money on the credit of the United States way back then. And so that smacks me in the face that these were Barr Esquire attorneys who formulated, constructed the U.S. Charter. And furthermore, America was great when U.S. Congress refused in 1811 to renew the 20-year Bank of England charter as the, what, the Bank of America, right? And that's what caused the war, the so-called War of 1812. So Congress was great then, and Kennedy was great, McKinley was great, and by the way, if people haven't
Garfield,
seen it, I didn't see
Lincoln,
it.
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah, Patton's warning, General Patton's warning against communism.
Jackson.
On YouTube, I just saw it. General Patton's warning against communism,
mm-hmm.
And also the one that I cited with Peter Schiff, of 18 December last year with Greg Hunter, USA Watchdog, at about the 245 mark, Schiff says, oh yeah, years ago, Congress, is probably 2009, passed a law mandating that any Federal Reserve losses is the responsibility of the U.S. citizen taxpayer. So they
yeah.
can gamble, squander, embezzle, whatever they want to do. Doesn't matter, because the good old sheeple Americans are there to back them up, according to U.S. Congress.
Yeah. We have, you know, we have all kinds of warnings from history. You know, Andrew Jackson's farewell address is definitely one of my favorite. Louis T. McFadden told us about 100 years ago. And there are others. The Lindbergh Sr. is warning. Hey, I got this banking memo from friends in the banking industry. Replete with warnings, history is, even our own. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. It was Pastor Sheldon Emery, right, who wrote the book Billions for the Bankers, wasn't it? And the economic conquest is one of the ways that you conquer a people, wasn't it? Pastor Sheldon Emery. Deaths for the People, right? Anyway, Louis T. McFadden gave a speech, 25 or 30 minutes or so on the House floor, ended up being assassinated, poisoned. He also introduced House Resolution 158, Articles of Impeachment for the Secretary of the Treasury and other folks, Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve and officers of the and directors of the 12 regional banks. And, you know, those lessons of history just haven't maintained the sort of traction that they should have. Again, Andrew Jackson's warning. It was interesting. So McFadden said what he said about the Federal Reserve, and he accused the Federal Reserve of deliberately causing the Great Depression. And I'm always, you know, anecdotally, I find it fascinating. You know, you see Alan Greenspan writing in the article that he wrote, Golden Economic Freedom, back in 1966, republished in Ayn Rand's Capitalism, the Unknown Ideal. Alan Greenspan is talking about the problem, and he says, you know, inflation is a scheme or in a system that has in the absence of the gold standard, he wrote, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. There is no safe store of value. And he presided over the largest amount of inflation our country has ever seen, up to that point anyway. So that's interesting. And then you have the harbinger of Bernanke, who's questioned by Alan Grayson back in 2009, who just 7 years prior at Milton Friedman's 90th birthday, and you wonder how much, you know, how if maybe this will disappear. I keep mentioning it hasn't yet. November 8, 2002, Milton Friedman's 90th birthday, a conference to honor Milton Friedman. Ben Bernanke closes the proceedings with these remarks. He says, "Let me end my talk by abusing slightly my status as an official representative of the Federal Reserve. I would like to say to Milton and Anna regarding the Great Depression, you're right, we did it. We're very sorry, but thanks to you, we won't do it again." This guy, who ends up just 7 years later being questioned by Alan Grayson, you know, you start to look at all of the evidence, whether it's circumstantial in nature or otherwise, and at some point you're looking at a mountain of evidence, and when do you say enough is enough? We have enough evidence. It's time to start criminal proceedings and you know, when does this rise to the level of treasonable offenses? You know, I don't think there's a more important conversation we could have in America, because intrigue and deception and techniques of infamy, they all cost money. People have to get greased and paid off. And when, you know, Greenspan says there's no question, you know, the U.S. can pay any debt it has because we can always print money, who's benefiting? Bernanke doesn't want to answer. Who's benefiting? Anyway, I appreciate you raising that point, Fred. We got calls stacking up. We're going to have to get back to the phones. Thanks, Fred. Appreciate it. As always, you know, we should play those clips, but I mentioned them. Is that enough? Probably not. Who's ever heard of Louis T. McFadden? Who knows? You know, and you have all of these echoes. I mean, McFadden poisoned. Again, McKinley, Garfield, Kennedy, Lincoln, you know, who again, what did he say? I have two great enemies. The South to my front and the banks to my rear. Jackson survives failed assassination attempt. An allegedly crazy guy who works for the Eastern European banking establishment. Two pistols misfire at point blank range. Over and over. There's evidence of intrigue and infamy, but are we learning the lessons of history? Are we retaining them? Because remember, progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. Back to the phones. Tom in Utah, thanks for calling. Welcome.
I hate to kind of burst your bubble there, Chris, but I think there is some judicial and political misconduct. Is that right?
I don't follow you.
No, I'm being a little facetious.
Okay.
What you've been...
Yeah.
Right now,
yeah.
I'm
beguiled, and I think that everything, live in a Pollyanna, rose-colored wonderland. Yeah.
Yeah, right now, I was just going to ask you a favor. I've been involved in trying to defend a man. You know, I've been, object of economic assault. You know, they don't like you to be able to be empowered, so they destroy you economically, kind of like they're doing to RBN. And all of us that are out there trying to correct the errors that the judiciary and the political fraudsters have created. But anyway, right now, kind of in response to Fred earlier, I'm desperately looking for help to get the word out on the case that I've been laboring on. Plus, still, there's been no remedy for the $34 million that have been impacted by the choices of HUD back in 1976. So anyway, sorry to beg on you, but I'm hoping people will take a kind heart and put the word out on this case that I'm working on right now, and also link over into the $34 million that are being injured. Anyway, if you get a chance, Chris, go into meadowsfire.com. Man was accused of arson, and a year has gone by. We have the hard evidence to prove his innocence, yet they keep playing the game. They want to do a psychological evaluation. They want to do a lie detector test, yet that's all done to keep the prosecutor, the lawyers, and the judges paid, but us as the payers, how do you say that? They like to wear you out. So it's economic warfare as well. Am I still there?
Yep, absolutely. So, yep, economic warfare is why I mentioned Sheldon Emery's Billions for the Bankers, Debts for the People, because that was one of the central and most salient points, was that, it's economic conquest is one of the primary means of conquering a people.
Yeah, we are the United Slaves of America. I happen to be a friend with John Benson, who wrote that book called The United Slaves of America. Also was friend with Eustace Mullins. He wrote the
Secrets
Island
of the Federal Reserve.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But anyway, you do pay a price when you are a constitutionally savvy and actually active individual. But anyway, I'm begging on my friends of RBN to go into Meadows Fire. And if you have a voice, please spread the word. If you have friends in Utah, please let them know of this case. And if anybody has a kind heart, they can help us in this one. And by the way, the $34 million I'm talking about is the poor families that live in manufactured and mobile homes in that Gassy America website. And I think you knew that I was biologically readjusted when I went to D.C. and exposed the brokering of those FEMA trailers by the Clinton Foundation. They were trying to pawn them off into the Haitians, and I went before the directorship of the World Health Organization explained the problem. That night I was biologically readjusted.
Yeah, you've made that point repeatedly on this network. So
it's just another example of this criminality of the elite.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, I'm sorry to wear it out, but I don't know what else to do. The only thing I can do is open my mouth, and I'm hoping our friends can open their mouth. And I apologize for wearing it out, but it's still there. They're still injuring people, still killing babies.
Yep. And so we're raising awareness to that, and we got calls stacking up, so we're going to get back to the phones. Tom, I appreciate your call, as always. Thank you. Back to the phones, David in California. David, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thanks, Chris. I had one correction. Two callers back, the guy talking about the first Bank of the United States, it wasn't called Bank of America. It was called the Bank of the United States. And apparently Hamilton was the one that put it together. But
I think that was just a cheeky, you know, that's, you get back into intrigue in terms of art, and I think that was, you know, not a misstatement as much as sort of a hinting at intrigue and infamy.
Yeah, well, in some ways, the illusion is still correct, because just as the current Federal Reserve is half owned by private bankers and half managed by the president, who can be owned by the bankers. And by God, I don't know if you're keeping up with Trump and his appointments to the Federal Reserve, but apparently a real estate developer loves low interest rates, and so he has a vested interest in making sure that the Federal Reserve dances to his tune. And the people that he's trying to appoint are not necessarily dancing to his tune. So, it's an interesting kind of trap that he's put
himself
in.
It's the tail wagging the dog, as always.
Right, yeah, and I may have mentioned this to you before. I had a great-great-great-grandfather that signed the Declaration of Independence, and we were always raised to understand that the aristocrats of 1776 never stopped attacking America, and that's how they trapped us with the Federal Reserve 100 years ago. That's how they basically suckered us into limiting Congress to 435 members. Those same people tricked the South into seceding in the Civil War. The British were offering the South a better trade arrangement than the North, and of course they didn't live up to their standards. Lincoln figured it out and kept the nation together. But, the British aristocrats were trying to do divide and conquer many, many times. They tricked us into World War One. They tricked us into even Germany in World War II. Hitler was very much in league with the King of England, and that old boy had to abdicate for the woman he loved. That was the official propaganda line, but the reality was he was selling British secrets to Hitler, or he was giving them to Hitler. And as far as I'm concerned, they were basically trying to trick Hitler into ruining the idea of democracy for Germany. You remember the Kaiser had to step down after World War One because not only did he lose the war, but here was another war by kings who ended up killing millions of people, and rather than hanging the Kaiser, they allowed him to abdicate and run off with his money. But Hitler was very much in league with the British king, and the idea that, as far as I'm concerned, the monarchies did not want a republic to happen in Germany. They wanted a crazy guy like Hitler to come along and make everybody so so exhausted by him that the people would actually beg to have the Kaiser back. And so it's one of those old tricks that the aristocrats have pulled on us. And it's kind of interesting. I heard you talking about the Bitcoin, for example, is pretty much a nice money laundering operation. And they have a kind of a shuffle operation, if I understand right. I was talking to one of the libertarian shows the other day, and they were dancing around claiming that Bitcoin was going to help them launder their money, you know, hide their transactions and whatnot through Bitcoin. But it's really just a money laundering operation for the aristocrats again.
I would call it a unit laundering operation in a certain context. It's really, you know, I think to use the word money in conjunction with so-called cryptocurrencies is just furthering the extension and continuation of a bad guy agenda, but that's just my point of clarification.
Anyway. If I understand your point, I wouldn't disagree. It actually gives authenticity to cryptocurrency when, in fact, it's just funny money.
Something. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
they're units. They're bits.
Go ahead.
They're units. They're bits.
Yeah, you know, and there's no way you can control it, and the whole thing is based on speculation. You know, the idea that if you were going to have a gold currency or a gold, your money was going to be based upon specie, then it was supposed to be a stable, slow and steady kind of currency that was going to be based upon, you know, the weight of a something tangible. And
something of substance.
And the idea that they actually encourage people to speculate with it, to buy it at 50 cents and get it up to how many thousands it's at now, it encourages inflation rather than it encourages stability. And so it creates an artificial, it lives by crisis. And it thrives by crisis, and it's one of those trickeries that the aristocrats have come up with to not only launder their, you know, whether you want to call it money or not, if organized crime is making vast amounts of money in prostitution and drugs and gun running and everything else, they've got to hide it somehow, and they've got to transact with it. So
Those are points that folks like Garfield and McKinley made specifically, and, you know, then what happens? I mean, you know, talking about things like when you have a group of folks that can cause wild fluctuations in the currency, then you have no, there's no confusion about understanding how cycles of boom and bust are created. And then after saying that, you know, somebody is fatally wounded or whatever. Greenspan says, you know, he wrote in that piece I mentioned earlier, Golden Economic Freedom, government deficit spending under a gold standard is severely limited, but by contrast, deficit spending is simply a scheme for the confiscation of wealth. He said gold stands in the way of this insidious process. But he also mentioned that it's not just gold, it's anything of substance. You know, he said that, for example, if everyone decided to convert all his bank deposits to silver or copper or any other good and thereafter declined to accept checks, in other words, FRNs, which are redeemable for nothing but like now, as payment for goods, bank deposits would lose their purchasing power. That is a key term. And government-created bank credit would be worthless as a claim on goods. If the American people did that collectively, then, you know, we wouldn't have to. I think they would be rewarded internationally by everyone other than the intriguers. And we wouldn't have to have Tom Selleck doing commercials for AAG to steal homes from folks that they can't pass on to their posterity, because they've, you know, through inflation, basically they've been taxed out of their home that they thought they owned.
Yeah, that's right. You know? you look at a guy like that, I agree. You know, here's a guy that made a ton of money in residuals in his movies and whatnot, but he's still, whether he was just stupid and spent all his money and took a quick buck to do an advertising campaign like that, yeah, he's there are a number of people that have ruined their reputations by taking ad revenue from really scoundrels like that. During the, you know, 10 years ago with the 2007 crash, there were a whole bunch of people that were doing, trying to think of the name of those, you know, the same housing bubble scammers. Yeah, it's right. Amazing. Hey, last thing, yeah. I was just going
to raise. We got to get back to the phones, actually. We're running out of time. David, I appreciate your call.
Colony economics.
We got to get back to the phones. Appreciate your call, David. Thanks. Running out of time. Yeah, there are a couple of guys. There's Kramer, Mad Money. He was one of the scam artists. And Barry Habib was another one. There's no bubble. Back to the phones. Brian in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, when Rhonda and you were having a discussion, what would Nikki say?
Yeah.
And, oh, terrible things going on in Seattle. What can we do about it?
Nikki would say, I told you so 20 years ago. Anyway.
That's right.
I mean, well, she certainly could, I'm just saying.
A brief story from Brian. I have a woman from Russian Ashkenazi heritage who's into farming. We are acquaintances and former roommates. She said to me once, how did you find Nikki Rapana and this communitarian thing? I said, oh, just following Jeff Rentz years ago, and he had her up. And, you know, he is a gatekeeper, in my opinion. But anyway, he had Nikki on, and she said, oh, well. And now up to dating, she does get blasts from Lark occasionally, and when I called her recently, she was very careful not to use the word community anymore. When she's describing it, it's some of the people on her road. So not to chastise you and Rhonda, but I really think Lark is right. It's like a dagger in the ribs, fingernails on the chalkboard. We are using their word, and I think that is working against us. I am making some headway with a variety of people that I don't feel are talking about this communitarian word. I've got a new analogy, and Lark happens to be into crossword puzzles. Him and his mom used to play. I think the situation, Chris, is we have a crossword puzzle. There's a word in the middle that fills it all in. It is not technocracy. It is communitarianism. Only that makes the puzzle complete. We need to focus on this and its linkage to Orin Etzioni, the son of Amittai. If I was running the world, I would say, son, here's what we're going to do. We're going to create the smart cities. You're going to go to Seattle. You're going to be the tech-pushing AI guy. And everybody will think technocracy is taking over the world. And I'll sit here at Georgetown University and completely snooker them.
They work hand in hand. You definitely made the point, and that's a good point to close out on. Folks, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is our